I'm very honed in to the stuff that I love and the stuff that is important to me. And I want to build my dream life for that. And I think finding that and recognizing what actually makes you happy will lead to that success and all those wins and all that luck. Because now we're building a business that allows me to chase that every day while building my dream life.
Plug into the minds of the world's cutting-edge innovators, visionaries, and thought leaders who are rewriting the rules of sales and success. It's your time to make an impact. I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Selling with Love podcast. I'm your host, Jason Mark Campbell. Today, I have two individuals that are going to join me to talk about sales, talk about marketing. We're going to touch on e-commerce and why is it so important to get connected with like-minded people to help you get to the next level, grow your goals, and make sure that you are surrounded with the right kinds of people to accelerate your success overall in life. So I'm so excited that I have Chris Mead and Aaron Spivak who are joining me. If you're not familiar with them, okay, these guys have been legends in the e-commerce space. Founder of Hush, Aaron actually has built multiple 8-9-figure brands, most recently recognized for Hush itself, went from 0 to 48 million in 48 months. So if you've ever had struggles with scaling, he has answers that you're going to discover from the conversations we have today. And we have Chris here, who's co-founder of CrossNet, four-way volleyball game. Maybe some of you are playing this game, but the man has over 10 years of sales marketing experience, has brought his products in major brands you might have heard of, such as Walmart, Costco, Dixon, 5,000 plus doors. Aside from that, he's been really helping other entrepreneurs getting to the next level, making them dreams possible. And together, they've created the Founders Club, which is a membership for entrepreneurs. We'll talk more about that, but this current membership has over $5 billion in revenue in the club, 150 members, and they're doing events around the world, maybe in a city near you. So it's with my great pleasure I bring him to the show. Chris, Aaron, welcome, gentlemen.
Love it. Thanks for the intro, bro.
Thank you for having us, man. That was an awesome intro.
Hey, man, we don't go cheap if we're going to bring some good guests on the show, you know? Now, we were just talking before, you guys are based out in Miami, and this is kind of maybe an offset question, but Miami seems to be a hub to attract a lot of people who are driven, entrepreneurial, want to seize opportunity. What's so attractive about Miami right now?
This guy just watched your video, Aaron, you posted.
I just made a whole video of this on my Instagram, but, you know, neither of us are born and raised in Miami, and we moved at different times. Chris has been in Miami for a handful of years. I just moved from Canada, so different country. And
51st state, I hear.
Yeah, soon. Hey, listen, it would have been easier to get that done earlier. I didn't have to do the whole visa process. But ultimately, I would say a handful of reasons why Miami was a destination. One of them is obviously the weather. It's fantastic. The second one being the growth in entrepreneurship in Miami is unparalleled. Chris and I make a joke between each other. We hosted a dinner about two and a half years ago in Miami, trying to bring founders together, and it was impossible to put 20 people at a table. Fast forward, we've got two member dinners this Thursday and Friday in Miami. There's over 200 people between the two of them on a wait list, people begging to get in. And of course, we prioritize members, but we look at each other and we say, wow, like, yeah, we've done a good job. We've grown, but the city of Miami has grown tremendously, and it's one of those places we want to be at. And you know, being on the East Coast, the time zone, there's a whole bunch of reasons. But I think what we were trying to do, what we're trying to build, being headquartered in Miami is advantageous to us.
There seems to be these cities, and if I think from the top of my head, that seem to attract entrepreneurial vibes. You got Miami, you have Austin, if you're looking in America. There seems to be Dubai being a mega hub attracting some attention. What makes it so that people are drawn to those places? And what happens once you're there? Like, okay, you're connecting with other entrepreneurs, not just because you're wanting to get some good food with friends. There's a vibe that gets formed when you go to these places, isn't there?
Crazy talent, man. It's just nonstop every day. Like me and Aaron are tomorrow morning playing with an exited founder for a $100 million company, playing padel 7 a.m. It's just every opportunity that we have to get away from our cell phones and our computers are spent with legit entrepreneurs that are making us better. And 99% of the time, it's not even talking about work. It's just being in their presence, and one conversation, one thing leads to the next, and your life just gets a whole lot better in a short time.
Yeah. I forget where I was hearing this, that, you know, one of the things that's the most rich in America is this accessibility to like risk capital. And I wish I could give the source. I just recently watched that on a YouTube video. But like the amount of people that are willing to take risk, invest in companies, and you know, you're rubbing shoulders with somebody like that, you'll share an idea. They'll be like, let's go. If you're an entrepreneur, being close to people who, you know, people just say like, let's go when you share an idea, that kind of weeds out the people that are like, oh yeah, if only I had the money, if only I had this and that. That goes out the door. And then it's like, hey, you got an idea, start executing when you're surrounded with this kind of opportunity, which kind of brings me to the question of like, entrepreneur is a sexy term, but it's often just people with ideas that don't take any action. What do you think is the difference between like people that are just like, oh, you know, there's just so many roadblocks, but then entrepreneurs that are going out, creating things, making money, scaling fast? There's a divide there.
You know, I think there is a divide, but when you look at a founder, an entrepreneur, what you're really looking at is someone that has taken a tremendous amount of risk to put forward an idea that it was otherwise just sitting in their head and trying to bring it to the world. And, you know, we've obviously been so close to founders and entrepreneurs for the last 2 years building out this community. But one thing that we personally love about entrepreneurs and founders is not only the economic value. I mean, every thriving society is built on the back of small businesses, medium-sized businesses, and of course, enterprise businesses that run capital markets. But it's all based on someone's idea. However, the inverse of that, of taking that big chance on yourself and life savings, we've all heard the heroic stories of founders with nothing. And both of us are spitting examples of those, and I'm sure we'll get into it. But the truth that every single one has in common is the feeling of loneliness, the feeling of being alone, the feeling of no matter how many employees you have, no one will understand what it's like to be the founder, to be the person that has put it all on the line time and time again and again, and it never really ends. It feels like you get out of one situation and you're into the next one. And it was one of the main motivations, both of us, you know, I've had successful brands, I've had exits, but the truth was that it would have been so much easier, and it is so much easier when you're surrounded by like-minded individuals who are also in the same boat as you. There's so many times where I think I'm having a meltdown in my business, and the odds that someone else is dealing or has dealt with the exact same thing and potentially even has a solution is there. I just was never connected to them. It was one of the main motivations for us to build this community, because ultimately what we want as founders is to do two things. One is we love to give. So we want a balanced relationship. We want to give, but also have access to resources and other people who are dealing with the same thing and not feel like you're on a deserted island.
Well, I'll get to you, Chris, in a second, but I want to poke at Aaron around something here, because when I read your bio, a lot of people are like, wow, 0 to 48 million in 48 months. That sounds like so much money. That seems easy, but what they forget is you've probably spent 30, 40 million. I don't know what the margins were, but there was a bunch of spending that came with making that kind of money. At least that's the assumption I have. So you had to take some risks. You had to probably make some trade-offs or go bold with some maybe awareness of where the metrics were headed. But scaling that fast seems very aggressive and requires a vision, requires spending. Like, how do you get to that? And what do you think are the ingredients you had in place that made it so you could scale there? Because there's probably some things that went down behind the scenes here.
Listen, taking $4,000 of DJ money and flipping it into a $48 million a year business doesn't happen so often. So there was a lot of luck, a lot of timing. But to your point, our recipe wasn't that special. I started the business, I was 22 years old. I'm a dropout of school. I didn't really have any formal business. Unfortunately, my dad couldn't give me any money. It was actually the opposite of that. So I didn't really have any competitive advantage. The only thing I had was my ability to work, 18, 20 hours a day. At one point, we were just doing those naps. So we would take like 45 minute to 90 minute naps, like once or twice a day. And that was our competitive advantage. Did we bet the farm over and over and over and over and over again? Yeah. Every single day, we bet the entire bank account. In fact, I remember during our Kickstarter, I would go to like every single bank and take out credit cards to max them out, because we had to fund the ad spend. Because I had no money left in my bank account. Like, we were doing $20 million a year. I was still DJing on the weekends to pay the rent, because we were literally flipping every single dollar we had.
But to me, like, is that unique and special? Yeah, in a way, because I feel like a lot of people aren't willing to do what it takes. But I feel on the flip side, I didn't know any better. I didn't know any other option. I was 22, 23, 24 years old. I had no experience, no circle, no community, nobody around me that's ever sold a business before. I found my M&A lawyer on a Google search. I literally Googled search M&A lawyer, and the first person got my business, which ended up being the third largest transaction in Canadian D2C history at the time. Like, he couldn't believe me when I told him it was a Google search. He doesn't earn business like that on Google searches. Also referral, but I didn't have anyone. I was 25 years old. So looking back, yeah, I would say if you're a young guy and you're listening to this and you have an idea and you have a million excuses, I had every single one you could think of. No money, no resources, no friends. All my friends party university, blah, blah, blah. I didn't even meet guys like Chris, who has a very similar story, because how could we meet? There was no place for us to come together. Even with all that, the truth of it all was that, as glorious as it sounds, it was the most secluded, lonely 6-7 years of my life. And what would have made my life easier and probably would have made me a bunch more money, because I know people on the pod love making money, would have been knowing people that could have showed me in the right direction, because I made millions of mistakes, and millions of mistakes that cost me millions of dollars. And that was all because I was a 25-year-old idiot with nothing but the willpower to push through whatever was coming my way.
I feel like this would be a great moment to put in a plug saying, if you're working all these hours and you need some quality sleep, luckily Hush is there to support you with their quality products.
I don't own the company anymore, but go buy some Hush, support them. I don't own it anymore, even though I do sleep on it. And obviously I created the product, so I advocate for them. But yeah, I mean, I was selling sleep and not sleeping.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, you know, coming back to you, Chris, I mean, you and your side also created a game, scaled it, started having the padding, a brand new methodology, going on e-commerce. But you also speak about the fact that you had a lot of experience in sales and marketing. And I might want to bring the conversation to that, which is, how essential is it for someone to have that kind of experience in sales and marketing when you go as an entrepreneur versus someone who might not have any of that experience to have as much success?
Yeah, I'd say like the biggest thing, even for Aaron and I building this company, being accustomed to rejection day in and day out, 100 times a day, picking up the phone, cold calling, emailing, just gets you so resilient. I was talking to somebody earlier today about the difference between like an early stage entrepreneur and a seasoned one. It's the one that gets hit in the face every day and it just feels like another email. Those are the ones that live and get to the success. It's the people that give up before they get rocked 10 times and build that strong jaw. That's when they give up. So yeah, dude, I graduated $200,000 in student loan debt with a film degree that was paying me $12 an hour on set. Took a crazy SaaS sales job where I was a little 22-year-old with a button-up tie going to sell the CMOs at AIG and Fortune 500s, and eventually became one of the first employees at Uber, and I was just cold calling restaurants all day. So it was 4 or 5 years of just grinding, hitting the phones, learning how to use email marketing, becoming a copywriter by like accident. And yeah, it all led to starting CrossNet in 2017. We had a brand new idea for a new sport. Not many people had created a sport, let alone created a company where I came from. And dude, I just took all that same knowledge, added all the people on LinkedIn, added all the retail buyers, and shot off a cold DM like I was back at the sales job. And I still remember the day vividly where the Dick's Sporting Goods buyer sends me a $250,000 purchase order through a DM on LinkedIn, pretty much.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, you're obviously on the Selling with Love podcast, so I want to share some sales success stories. And again, I'll testify to this. One of my first jobs doing reverse prospecting on real estate, you know, finding myself being on the phone, dialing out 100 numbers a day. Like, that resilience, it's oftentimes, you know, for some people, I even say, hey, if you want to get out there, go and get a job where you're cold calling, go get a job where you're just like door-to-door selling, like just that the prospects are already coming your way because you're working for a company that's bringing them in, and get that rejection, like get that done as fast as possible. I mean, you can do it the entrepreneurial way yourself, but it seems like a lot of people, that becomes the excuse for everything else. And I'm like, just get it out of the system. Go get rejected heavily, repeatedly.
Nobody wants to willingly sign up to get rejected all day long, but it is the best form of training you could ever ask for. Like, I should be paying them to let me cold call.
Yeah. I find it funny, and I don't mean to make light of the past events that you share, but I find that it funny. If you are someone that's used to getting straight A's in school, the hurt of the rejection or the wanting and stepping into a possibility of rejection seems a lot scarier than someone who might have either dropped out, didn't have the greatest of grades, but still is seeing success in their life and realizing, oh, even when that happened, I didn't lose a leg, I'm good. And then you're more open to the possibility that rejection isn't the end of the world. Have you noticed that with the types of people you interact with or employees you bring on?
Yeah, I would say so. We stop looking at resumes, right? It's all about character. Really, it's all about character and resilience. And we want people that we bring on, at least the employees are very much, they're all entrepreneurs in their own right of their own divisions within the company. So yeah, super, super resilient people is what we look for.
All right. Well, obviously you guys now have went out and co-founded the Founders Club. You're creating a membership for entrepreneurs, you both being entrepreneurs, bringing more entrepreneurs together. And it was a series of events that led to the fact that the next venture needs to be this. Like, you guys could have went into creating a new sport. You could have went and, you know, dealing with anything else, but you found that the most important thing to do was to bring entrepreneurs together. So what was the why behind that?
Yeah, I mean, me and Aaron have both very different stories, but very similar stories in the sense that entrepreneurship was scary, lonely, continues to be. And you make one or two critical mistakes at any point in your business and you could be out of business and back to that shitty cold calling job that you hated, right? So for us, I'm still like working on navigating a final exit for CrossNet. Aaron sold his company 2 years back. And we just saw a very large gap in the market where if you weren't good at copywriting, begging somebody for 5 minutes of their time, and you didn't live in a Miami or New York or in LA and was able to get these connections, at least for me personally, those connections don't exist anywhere. Like most people don't live in those major cities and they want to become an entrepreneur. They want to take the next step. They don't know anybody. I'm thinking a few members we have that are in Ohio. They're in the middle of Ohio. They have no community, no resources, but they came to us because they wanted to get connected to 200 different founders. And now they're mingling, networking, flying out places, and it's kind of changing their lives. So it's a good feeling.
Mm. As a business owner, entrepreneur, someone running an agency, having the top tier website is very important. And you're more than likely running your business on WordPress. But are you hosting on the best platform possible? That's why I'm excited to bring Kinsta as our sponsor for today's podcast, which allows you for faster load time, top tier security, and human only best in class customer support. So if you're looking to have your website hosted on WordPress on the best platform, Kinsta really goes above and beyond to make sure your websites load fast, your SEO is working well, you get the support you need, and you get to keep focused on your business. Are you ready to experience Kinsta's hosting for yourself? Get the free month when you sign up at kinsta.com today. It's the perfect opportunity to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses worldwide to power their website. Visit kinsta.com and get this limited time offer for new customers on select plans. Don't miss out. Get started for free today.
How about yourself, Aaron?
I would say, you know, it kind of fell in our lap also, you know, like pretty much like, oh, like this is kind of just ball in the lap. Post-selling the company, Chris and I actually came up with this brilliant idea to have dinner with as many founders as possible. And we traveled all over the country having dinner with almost 3,000 different founders in about 19 or 20 cities. We did back-to-back years, 40, 50 dinners. It cost us a fortune. But the outcome of that was that this guess, because the guess was I'm a lonely founder, you're a lonely founder, I did not have the resources I needed, you don't have the resources you need. Is that true for everyone else? Or we just suck? Maybe we suck. And what happened was not only were we right in saying that everyone else felt and lived very similar lives, but there was no place post-dinner, because those were incredible. People were meeting, so much action was happening, but post-dinner for people to stay connected, to stay together. And it was then when the idea of like, okay, people are asking for it, let's be the ones to build it. Now, are we the first to ever create a community? Absolutely not. There's hundreds of communities. I'm a part of them. However, we felt like there was no community that was exclusively focused on giving founders everything they need to be the best version of themselves. So that's also outside of the business, but also within the business, and give you access to resources that you otherwise wouldn't have access to. You know, building a nine-figure brand, I can tell you,
I had different access at different points in my journey. Better rates from the banks. Partners would treat me differently. Agencies were scared to do me wrong. When you're growing your brand, you're doing a million, 2 million, 5 million, 10 million. Everyone is screwing you because they don't care. They don't value you. So being a part of a community, you have access to the best of the best deals. You have access to the best of the best people. And you have the opportunity to build unparalleled connection. Chris and I have a funny story. He was also going through a transaction at the time. We met each other too late because I could have gave him a piece of insight because I literally just did what he's doing that could have changed the entire trajectory of his outcome. And it was a light bulb moment for the both of us, is saying like, why didn't you have access to me a week ago? You know, it was us both being selected for Forbes 30 under 30 and then connecting on LinkedIn that connected us. But that's very like serendipitous internet stuff that happens, right? But imagine we were part of a group and he was able to go in that group and say, you know, confidentially, because everyone's under NDA, hey, I'm going through a pivotal transaction that's going to change my life for the rest of my life. I have a couple options. What do you guys think is the best one? And to get advice, not from Twitter or LinkedIn, but to get advice from people who are actually doing it. And that's the difference. A good friend of mine, Jesse Itzer, always says, you're one piece of information or one person away from unparalleled growth. Both of those people are happening every single day in our community. It's something that didn't exist prior.
So for anybody who's listening to this and assuming that there's no founders club in their area, aside from maybe them volunteering to form the chapter, which would be a nice plug, but just in general, if you're someone that's maybe feeling the pain here, there's that loneliness, you guys went out and by your own initiative, went out of your way to go and meet people and across. What could be some of the first steps or recommendations you could give to people who are trying to find maybe in their backyard, there is people they could connect to? What are some of the places they could go search? And what were some of the steps you took before your founders club was there?
To be honest, man, I don't even want to give you a crappy answer. The reason why we're building is because there is no answer. The only thing you have is LinkedIn. Aaron met his former business partner at a bar. Like, it has to be very serendipitous like that, right? This place doesn't exist. It's called college and then post after college, and there's nothing in between. So if you are an entrepreneur, you're struggling, or you're working in your office or your bedroom and you don't get out there, can't relate to your high school friends anymore, your parents have no idea what you're doing. It's such an obvious gap for us. So it's nice because right now there's a digital component to the club and also an in-person component. So there's tons of members who are feeling the pain you're talking about that are tapped in. I'm literally watching the Slack on the other screen and like messages are firing. Yeah, just an attempt to try to cure that loneliness. But yeah, I mean, maybe LinkedIn's probably a good place to search local community, but yeah, it's tough.
Mm. And what I realize is, like, for example, here in Bali, there's a lot of these different initiatives that people are meeting up. There's some dinners, entrepreneurs. And I think in most cities, there's some types of initiatives like that. Are there sometimes you have to like filter through if it's like, hey, are some of these like obvious red flags that it's going to be a waste of your time? Because networking events, you're basically suggesting in some capacity networking event, right? Which can come with its own set of red flags. So what are some of the rules you might suggest for someone who's like, okay, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to go to that dinner, but they're maybe not as curated. What do we look for?
Well, I'd look for overly sponsored events because you know you're getting sold to. I look for anything that mentions business cards or getting potentially dressed up. We got really lucky, Aaron, because for 2 years we started doing these and we had nothing to sell these people but friendship. And we built that Rolodex, right? 3,000 founders. And when we decided to go on LinkedIn and publish, yo, we're building this, the floodgates kind of opened on the first day.
I would say the one thing also to add to that is the most difficult part of any new person you meet is because they can appear to be whatever they want on your first interaction. The layer of authenticity and trust to build with someone does take a tremendous amount of time, which is totally normal. What we're building, it's a very key word, and the word is vetted. When you get to join a highly vetted community, highly vetted dinner, you know, because you've went through the process. We have a very strict and quite decently long admissions process. So you know that if you got accepted, on the back end of that, anyone you meet is also highly vetted, is also meeting the same criteria that you met. So when you can have that first interaction, that first conversation, you're not like, I don't know if I can trust them. We did all the due diligence for you. Everyone in the room, everyone at the table is someone you want to meet, is someone that you could offer value to. And in return, they can offer value to you. In fact, we prompt that. One of our pillars is that any good relationship, this is intimate relationship, business relationship, doesn't matter. Any good relationship in your life that you've maintained for a good amount of time always has equal part giving and taking. We all know relationships that people just take from us. Eventually, you want out of them, and vice versa. If you're just a taker and taker, people will leave away from you. Any good quality relationship is you have something to offer and they have something to offer, and you're able to trust each other enough to do it and change that information. And when you get to do that with 250 other people on a regular basis, both virtually, in person, retreat-based, destination-based, it unlocks unparalleled power to the point where we're having one of our local meetups. We have local meetups all over. We're having one actually this Friday in Miami. One of the key topics that's coming up within the club is personal branding, right? Because you got your business, your personal branding, how to leverage that, and then how to do it in 2025. We've got people with nine-figure businesses, with multi-million-dollar businesses, with 2 million followers on Instagram, all coming together to spend 2 hours on a Friday night and just brainstorm and mastermind together how to make a plan for yourself and your business and help each other do so for this upcoming year. We have people flying in from Manitoba. You guys don't know where that is. Let me just paint the picture. There's no direct flight, okay? It's like 8 hours to get here. You got to fly to Toronto. Then flying in, specifically, this is a nine-figure founder, flying in for 2 hours. Why? Because he knows that in 2 hours with 30 incredible other founders that have nothing but constant brainstorming and giving and taking, massaging ideas, he's going to leave with enough value to plan his whole year. And those are the conversations that you as a founder, regardless of where you're at, you want to be in. Regardless of where you're at. And that's what we're trying to cultivate and create. You can go to these conferences all day long. I go to them. I speak at them. Chris speaks at them. We love them. We're building and get something very highly vetted. And like Chris's point, you're not going to go into a room and get pitched by 400 people and feel like, you know, vampires right at your neck for an hour.
Fair enough. I want to go towards something I've heard repeatedly from both of you throughout this conversation, was this element of luck. I've heard you guys mention luck in both of your stories, both now, both in the past. And it seems that this is something entrepreneurs always cherish in their success and always tip their hat towards. And I want to understand, what do you guys think the role of luck played in your success, and how do you actually even cultivate it? It seems like some people seem to always have more luck going consistently on their side. Is there a way to cultivate luck?
Oh man, cultivate luck. I think it comes down to the repetitions, right? The more you keep coming back, the more you keep showing up, the better life continues to get. And it's the difference between the people that learn from their mistakes and don't learn from their mistakes as well, right? You keep unlocking new growth, unlocking new challenges, like that's when the luck just continues to grow. But yeah, I mean, super lucky, right? Like the night I created CrossNet, 2017, three broke college kids on a couch, and first 2 hours of brainstorming, a bunch of shitty ideas. 2 more hours go on, bunch more shitty ideas. 6 hours in, our best friend was about to leave and he was going to drive home, and he's like, no, 1 more hour. And in that last hour, he wrote down four-way volleyball on a piece of paper that changed my life forever, right? It's like little things like that. Influencer video in Latvia blows up and has 60 million views in 24 hours and Target comes knocking the next day. It's little moments like that that just seem so crazy, but it's really been the grind every single day to unlock them.
And I'll add to that and say what Chris is describing is what I call opportunistic luck. And the great analogy that I love, because he mentioned, you know, you post a video, it goes viral. Next thing you know, Target's sending you $1 million. You know, is that lucky? To me, that's opportunistic luck. And what does that mean? The best example I have is you're a scuba diver. You practice scuba diving your whole life. You're on a beach. Some guy comes and goes, hey, I located this treasure chest. The bottom over there, it's about 100 meters deep. Who can get me it? And you happen to be there. Trained professional, you've been scuba diving your whole life with your tanks, and you're like, oh my god, me. And you go and you scuba dive and you get the treasure. Was that person lucky? Well, I'll tell you one thing. If Chris and I were on the beach, we ain't getting the treasure.
because we're not, for sure, we don't scuba dive. You know what I mean? So you can say, was that person lucky or was it opportunistic luck? They were preparing for that moment their whole life. If Chris doesn't start a company, take a chance on himself. If Chris doesn't post the video and hoping and praying that future virality, that future target moment doesn't come. The real answer is, how do you bring more luck into your life? One, you need to practice recognizing it, you know, because it's very easy to just take that moment, you know, I'm sure you did this anyways, but you can take that moment and be like, we need 10 more videos. It's like, wait a second, like, let's just sit with this for a second. This was pretty cool. This has changed our business, right? So one is recognize the moment. The second thing is, how do I do more things? How do I do more stuff? Right? Because sitting around and looking at the sky and praying that $1 million are going to fall out of it, you know, that's not going to happen. What's most likely to happen is if you keep doing things, trying, tasting, testing, doing things that you don't know are going to work or not, and you do it with good integrity and good intention, odds are things start to fall into you instead of away from you, and you get to have those viral moments, your treasure chests. Those things happen. I sold my business from a LinkedIn post. I made a post, some guy of our Dragon's Den pitch, which is like Shark Tank, some guy invited me to a charity gala to pitch 300 people in a live auction type thing where people would vote who's the best pitch. Guy in the crowd comes to me, you got to meet my friend. That friend 2 months later ends up being the guy who ends up buying my business, right? Was it lucky? Hell yeah. But what if I didn't go to the charity event? What if I didn't want to get off my ass and do it? What if I was like, it's not worth it? What if I didn't prepare for the pitch and put everything I got into it? What if I missed that Zoom call, right? So you got to do things that give you the opportunity to get luck. So that's why I'm a big believer in opportunistic luck. It's like, I've never seen a guy, well, I mean, maybe it happens. You walk on the street out of nowhere, you stub your toe and it ends up being a gold bar. Like, very, very, very unlikely.
I think that's amazing to hear. And there's a couple things I've already picked up from the conversation being like, okay, if you're cultivating luck, there's the don't be afraid of the rejection side that Chris, you talked a lot about, particularly with the sales experience. There's a whole aspect of, hey, if you're connected to the right people, then this seems to multiply the luck. And being part of something like Founders Club just makes it so that these serendipitous accidental connections just turn up on high level. And now it just seems like luck is raining down on you because you're always one degree away from someone who knows someone who has the answer from you or directly to the person who can help you. A lot of times I hear, and you've also mentioned that one of the things you embrace is a lot of, you know, personal growth aspects and how as someone who's an entrepreneur, there's also that kind of self-growth aspect. And probably in closing here, I'd love to know if someone's listening to this and they were going to bring some habit into their lives to welcome more success, welcome more opportunities, and just being someone that's going to have a little more, call it fuel in the tank, as they're going on to this journey of being an entrepreneur. Is there a habit, a way of looking at things, or something that someone could take from this conversation and being like, yeah, if I start doing this, a change will happen?
Yeah. For me, it's funny how it actually makes you happy, right? And I think that's really important because the common misperception is that getting rich and having hundreds of millions of dollars is what makes you happy. Manera and I both know a lot of rich people who are absolutely miserable. Their kids hate them. They have a terrible relationship with their spouse. It's not a good life. It's not a life that I'd ever want to sign up for. So I think it's really important just to find out exactly what makes you happy. And Aaron knows, as much as we grind on this business, we have things that make us happy separately, right? It's like, Aaron loves beautiful cars. I got a shitty Tesla with 9 dents and bumps on it. I love shutting down at 7 o'clock to watch TV with my wife. Aaron has never even turned on the TV. It's just a completely different thing, but I'm very honed in to the stuff that I love and the stuff that is important to me. And I want to build my dream life for that. And I think finding that and recognizing what actually makes you happy will lead to that success and all those wins and all that luck. Because now we're building a business that allows me to chase that every day while building my dream one.
How about you, Aaron?
I would say Chris is absolutely right. I mean, it's a combination between a handful of things, but ultimately it's a little bit of intuition. It's a little bit of the things that make you happy. And it's a little bit of connecting your reason why into the things that you do. And the reason why is what makes you get excited in the morning. Why are you grinding? You know, what was the point for me? You know, when I was grinding 18, 19 hour days, it was to be able to take care of myself and my family. It's one of those whys that are tough to beat.
You know, I always say, didn't matter what I sold, ended up being blankets and sheets and pillows. It could have been phone cases. It would have been bad news for whoever was selling phone cases because my why was so big and strong. I was relentless. And if your why, to Chris's point, is to get a Lambo or something like that, like that's great, but eventually you'll get it and you'll realize whatever, right? So you have to connect it to something deeper, something that is really true to you. And I find, you know, hosting workshops and stuff like that around your why, you realize that most people connect their why to something that is actually involved other people. They want to give back. They want to provide something that was never provided to them. So some people always want a better life for their kids, for example, or for their friends and that they had. Those are the whys that really move people. And if you're lucky enough, because we're not all that lucky, to spend your time every day doing the things that you love to do and you have fun to do it, I think you can ride that for a really long time. I know a lot of people, unfortunately, that are miserable in what they do every single day. And I think that's one of the beautiful parts of being an entrepreneur, is that you get to choose your pain. You get to choose to suffer. You get to choose to spend 18, 19 hours. And you get to do it with a smile on your face. You get to control how much money you make in a way. You get to control the value and the impact you have for other people. And that's why people say, like, oh, are you a born entrepreneur? You can make one. It's like, anyone can be an entrepreneur. You just have to be connecting your why into your goal and into your business. And there's a million ways to do it. I know people that have, you know, janitorial services that connect to their why. You know, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be a sexy business always. But when you're making $2-3 million and you can put your kids in private school, you'll run the janitorial service no problem because their why was to always, you know, give a better life to their children.
Hell yeah. Aaron, Chris, it's been a pleasure having you guys come on the show, share some of that journey, also introduce all of our listeners to the Founders Club. We're going to put a link in the show notes. You guys can go check that out, see if it's coming to a city near you. There's ways you can stay connected with the group. Follow them on their socials. We'll have all of that posted up. And again, some of the key takeaways I've taken from here is just like, hey, if you're going to go as an entrepreneur, know that that road's going to be a little lonely. It's best to go with other people because you'll have shortcuts left, right, and center when you connect and have within your grasp people that have been there, done that, and everything that's an overwhelming existential crisis moment in your business is just a Saturday for somebody else, or maybe a Tuesday since maybe they're not doing anything on Saturdays anymore. That being said, being able to be comfortable with rejection, knowing that, hey, sales is going to be a key component, it's one deal away can change the business. But with the right marketing efforts, a little luck on your side, putting yourself in the right place, not everything is going to be a home run. There's going to be a lot of missed balls that are coming your way, but you keep getting up. You keep getting up. And luck, well, it doesn't need to be lucky. If you're taking 100 swings, you're going to hit one and you'll call it luck. Go for it. This is what it means to be an entrepreneur. And honestly, I would add one thing that I've subconsciously taken from conversations with you guys. Aaron, you mentioned you came down from Canada. You guys are both in Miami. If you're truly looking to be an entrepreneur, if you want to stack the cards in your favor, go to where the money is, go to where the entrepreneurs are so you can accelerate your growth. And this is why big cities like New York, Miami, LA attract all the talents, because when you're serious about moving forward with something, you put yourself in the middle of it and it accelerates your success. So, hey, you want to be an entrepreneur? What are you willing to take forward? Put it all in? Well, sometimes it might require a relocation. Gentlemen, absolute pleasure speaking with you. All the best. And I'll be checking out the Founders Club myself. Maybe there's a chapter of people out here in Bali because I think it's much needed.
There always is, brother. See ya.
Thanks, bro.
I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.